Hello, listeners, and welcome to The Great Southern Stand, episode 132, for Wednesday, the 20th of April, 2011. I'd like, if I may, to take a brief moment to welcome some of our new listeners from India, Saudi Arabia, Senegal in Africa, and Turkey. I'm honored that you guys would listen to my inane wafflings, and I wish you the very best of luck in the near future, which is probably going to get a little rough if we look at the revolutionary momentum of that area of the world. Hopefully, we'll all meet up on the other side of revolution to find a world that we can actually be happy and free in, rather than ruled by greedy, selfish, narrow-minded buttholes. And this leads me, in a sort of roundabout way, onto an interesting thought which I had last night on the importance of imagination. Now, I've never given imagination much serious weight. It seemed to be the domain of the creatives amongst us and pretty much stop there. But I'm starting to change my mind. I'm now starting to think that imagination may be the single most important asset available to mankind, and not just as far as invention and that sort of thing is concerned. Consider what your imagination allows you to do and perceive. Mostly perceive. Perceive is what I'm hanging my thought on today. If you have no imagination, you can't put yourself into someone else's shoes, right? Making it impossible to feel real empathy. If you have no imagination, you cannot picture what the world might be like in a century, making it impossible for you to think of the long-term effects of your short-term profit. If you have no imagination, you cannot imagine what I will do to you if you pump out more pop shite music, and then we get Justin Bieber. You see, imagination is important, and I think we should all consider ourselves lucky and well-advanced to have imagination. Yeah, I pretty much think that you all have it to some extent. Otherwise, why would you listen to this podcast? It's the same way I feel about my audience's intelligence. You know, why would stupid people listen to this? So I pretty much think that you're all bright. Probably brighter than me, which, you know, is good. If everyone was as thick as I, then the world would be in even worse shape than it is now, believe me. Anyway, enough from me. Let's head on into the stories for today. This first one coming out of Phoenix, and I must admit, this is a little bit of a blood boiler. It wasn't when I initially grabbed the story, but then I thought about it a little, and I started to get angry. The Arizona sheriff, known for dressing inmates in pink underwear and feeding them green bologna, is inviting people to choose the most popular jail booking photos posted on his website. Okay, the sheriff, who's dressing criminals in ridiculous things and taking photos of them, is putting them on a website and doing a, you know, a hot or not voting type thing. Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio allows online users to browse through photos and then vote on their favorites that will be highlighted on a mugshot of the day section. The top picks so far aren't unexpected. They're the most disheveled, unusual looking people among those booked into the downtown Phoenix jail. Arpaio says he hopes the increased web traffic will highlight the work of his employees. He also says more crimes may be uncovered if the public can view the photos. Oh, that's your excuse, is it, buddy? Calm down, Steve. Deep breaths. The website is not going to be broadcast by me, right? But if you are particularly interested in seeing these pictures, you can visit my website and click on the show notes. That'll take you straight to the story, and the link is down the bottom there. But you know, this story astounds me because there seems to be no negative connotations at all, right? This guy is dressing folks up in bullshit clothing and taking, quote, hilarious, unquote, shots of them to be posted online and laughed at by the general public. I mean, is this really okay? You know, doesn't this cross some sort of line in our treatment of prisoners? I was pretty sure that deliberate humiliation was illegal. And even if it's not, surely this is a pretty dishonorable act. Yeah, I know. Honor has no place in the modern world. My honor has cost me plenty, believe me. And it's probably idealistic and naive of me to expect honorable behavior from law enforcement officials. You know, I've always said, there's only so many times you can be lied at all day, every day, before you start getting a little hardened and embittered, and you probably lose any honor or empathy that you used to have. But, you know, yeah, I'm not happy about this story. I'm not happy about it at all. I honestly think that even criminals deserve more consideration than that. Anyway, all right. On to our next story, which is another minor blood boiler, but it's really just sort of baffling. You know, it's weird, and it's something that I'm sure many of you have to deal with in your home countries, but in Australia, being the cultural melting pot that it is, it's particularly worrying. Okay, a Newcastle woman has been asked to show cause as to why she should keep her personalised number plates bearing her nickname Kiki, which means genitals in a Filipino language, right? Now, Kristen Perry is so attached to her nickname Kiki that she has the number plates on her car bearing that name. But the word doesn't sit well with the Roads and Traffic Authority because it says it is considered offensive in the Filipino language. This is Australia. We don't speak Filipino. We speak English. We speak the Queen's English very badly, but we do speak it. In that language, I should also point out we had an awful lot of Filipino refugees, I believe, from the wars in Southeast Asia. Sort of thing, right? A lot of them came to Australia. Remember, it's called Australasia. We're really close to all of those islands. So we got a lot of Filipino people coming here as refugees during the wars. Now, in that language, Filipino, the word kiki is used to describe part of a woman's genitals, and the RTA is now demanding Ms. Perry show cause to keep the plates. Ms. Perry says that she was shocked. Quote, "At first I thought it was a joke, and then I realized it was actually quite serious, and that my number plates would be taken off me if I didn't respond appropriately. Quite frankly, it's a bit of a funny thing. But at the same time, quite a bit scary that we've got people who can just report a number plate that seems quite inoffensive to 99% of the population, but 1% have an issue with it. Ms. Perry says her nickname is linked to her Greek heritage, and she is disturbed that it could be considered offensive. I mean, I'm disturbed too. You know, I'm not up for just insulting people willy-nilly, whatever language they speak when they come to Australia, you know, but I also don't think that, I mean, is there a set of syllables that you can think of that is probably not an insult or a rude word or a descriptive of some obscene biological function in another language? You know, I mean, we were talking about this just the other day between myself and my girlfriend when I was learning a few Swedish words. One of them is slut, S-L-U-T, slut, which in English means a woman of loose morals who sleeps with a lot of men, right? But in Swedish, it just means the end, you know? So you could see slut at the end of a film or anything like that, you know? I think it's pronounced slut, right? Yeah. So does that mean that in Sweden, you couldn't have your personalized license plate saying slut just because a few Australians or English-speaking people visiting would get offended by that license plate? No, not at all. I'd have a bit of a giggle and go, ah, look, that looks a bit like a rude word. I mean, don't you play that game with yourself all the time? I do. You know, when you're looking at other languages and stuff like that and you spot one that looks a bit like a rude word in your language, that's funny. It's funny. That's all it is. Anyway, there we go. Okay, now on to our last story for today. This one's sent in by Epex. It's not quite a stupid criminal story, although it's definitely a bit thick, but it is mostly a twisted criminal story. This one's a little odd. An English man has tried to take pictures of women in a shopping mall toilet disguised as a mannequin. Ah. University of Birmingham student Joel Hardman was caught trying to secretly film women on his mobile phone. The 22-year-old from Egbadston was seen sneaking into the women's toilets dressed like a mannequin with a mask and a wig earlier this month. When security guards nabbed him after he emerged from the locked cubicle, Hardman admitted to performing a sexual act and said, "I've been a bit weird." He also told police he found the sound of women on the toilet sexually exciting, gross, and said, "It's good you've caught me. Maybe now I'll stop." Police found 3 images of women's feet taken beneath cubicle doors on his mobile phone and an audio recording of a flushing toilet, the court was told. Oh my God. All right. Hardman told Birmingham Magistrates Court that he felt sexual gratification out of everything that goes on in women's toilets. When asked to explain his outfit, he said he wore the clothes to a fancy dress party and then tried it out in a shopping mall. Hardman confessed he had done it before in the women's toilets at a university campus, but moved to the shopping center because it was busier. The student was released on bail on the condition that he stay away from public toilets. Good. Oh, my God. That is a little bit sick. Just a little bit. Yeah. Okay. Well, that is your lot for today. You can find all our previous episodes and video treats, as well as get in contact with us on our home website, southernstand.blogspot.com. And today's video treat, Paraphrase Theatre, brings us a look at Star Wars, Grand Moff Tarkin and Friends, to be exact. This is pretty funny if you're one of those people who memorizes exact quotes from classic beloved films and gets really angry when someone misquotes them. You know, well, this is good for a cheap laugh, or at least a wry grin. So thanks for listening to this episode of The Great Southern Stand. I've been Steve Parker, and you have been magnificent. I will catch you on Friday.
I got no pants on.